Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in central Watford. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
Lord, that you'd help us give us your attention. And I pray your word would speak to us, Lord. And as I always pray, I ask, Lord, that my words would not get in the way of yours. And in the end, what we would experience is your love. Pure and plain and simple. Just your love, Lord. Because heaven knows we need to know your love on a deeper level. Please, Lord, reveal yourself to us. Show us your ways, Lord. Teach us your ways. And reveal yourself to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've been following the reading plan that we serve by putting together, you'll have been reading from Abraham and the promises there about the extension of God's plan and purpose for Abraham's life was to take him to a new place. Then Abraham and Isaac and Jacob through a really torrid and topsy-turvy story of kind of messed up people and God's faithfulness to them anyway. God's repeated promises to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, even when they mess up and cheat and mess around. He's faithful to them. To them we get to the story of Joseph. And you've been reading over the last few days, just come to understand how messed up Joseph's life was. From birth, he didn't choose to be the favorite, but he was his dad's favorite. And not only that, how embarrassing, his dad embarrassed him by telling everyone else, including all of his brothers, that he was his dad's favorite by giving him a colorful coat. So he stood up like a sore thumb. They hated him before. They hated even more when he was wearing this cloak. I mean, if I got one of those, I'd put it in the cupboard. But he didn't want to shame his dad. So he might as well have a fluorescent jacket saying, I'm my dad's favorite. How would that go down in your family? Ooh. Then he has dreams about his family bowing down to him. Then he foolishly tells them the dreams. Maybe foolishly. If I had a dream like that, I think I might just journal it. He tweets it. All of his family hear of how great Joseph is. The brothers hate him. In fact, they take him out and they want to leave him for dead. If it wasn't for Reuben, he'd be left for dead. And he has a bit of compassion. So let's pretend he's dead. Let's tell Dad he's dead. And actually, we'll sell him to slavery. This is not an easy journey. That's why I think it's preserved for us so beautifully in the scriptures. This is a journey we can relate to, some of us, because not because we've been kind of picked up by Egyptian traders, but because we find ourselves on a topsy-turvy journey of brokenness and stupidity and pain and hatred and healing and love and hope and disaster, all in a mixture of it. We're meant to relate to Joseph here. And we get to the point where he finds himself in a foreign land with a foreign language and foreign culture and foreign gods. And incredibly, he holds on to the faith that he had in the God of his father and his father's father and his great-grandfather, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one true God, Yahweh. He holds on to that faith and he remains faithful to it. Because of holding on to the love of Yahweh, then he ends up being promoted. He's a clever guy. He's a handsome guy. And so he ends up in a position of influence and he ends up in Potiphar's household. Now, God not only blessed him with intellect, but he was also really good looking. And as many of us who are really good looking know, it's sometimes really hard to deal with the attention that brings to us. Isn't it? So Joseph finds himself getting the attention of Potiphar's wife. Now she's got everything she wants. She's got all the wealth, the acclaim, the position. And you know how bored, wealthy, happy people get? She finds herself attracted to Joseph because he was attractive. She makes a move. He rejects. He's faithful. She makes another move. She's not faithful. He rejects because he's faithful. Again and again, he turns her down until one day she gets close enough to grab his cloak, trying to rip it off him in a seductive way. Instead, he runs. She ends up with a cloak in his hand. What is it in the story about cloaks and Joseph? I don't know. She ends up with a cloak in his hand, in her hand, and screams, "He raped me!" Joseph runs. What kind of situation is he in now? He ends up having a confrontation with Potiphar's husband. And we're going to pick up the story in Genesis 39, just a few verses. Verse 19, Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Wow. The Lord was with him. What, in the prison? Kind of without a trial. They threw him away. They kind of threw him away in the prison and threw away the key. They left him practically to rot in the prison. Rats. No sanitation, a hole in the ground in Egypt. Imagine what that's like. They left him in that hole in the ground. The Lord was with him. Hallelujah. This is already a message you and I can take hold of. His love extended even into the hole in the ground where Joseph was. More than that, it says in verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. Now, the Hebrew, the original language this was written in, that doesn't really do it justice in the New Living Translation, because the word that is used in the Hebrew is on the screen there in the bottom half, nachar. And that word actually means to stretch out, to extend, to spread out, to bend down. That's what it's describing. So God's response to Joseph's calamity, to his predicament, was to reach down. So I think it's the New American Standard Version and the Christian Standard Bible say this: but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him, extended grace and mercy. God saw this situation and God reached down. Let's say that together. God reached down. His love bent over and reached into the hole in the ground. And God said, look, I'm going to show you my love right where you are. He doesn't immediately rescue him. But because of God's faithfulness, he shows him his love right there. And because Joseph is open to be shown the kindness of God, there is kind of a partnership here. Because God is faithful to show him his love, and because Joseph is faithful to receive his love, he gets favor. Favor with the prison guards, favor with the prisoners. Before long, he's running the place. All because God showed him his kindness. And because Joseph would receive that kindness. I want to talk to you about extended love. A love that reaches. Some of us, even today, maybe listening to this recording or here in the room, you find yourself and you're in a pit of despair. You might as well have had someone throw you away and then throw away the key to lock you away. Something's holding you. Something's holding you back. And you might say, well, how can I know God here? Everyone else in church seems so happy. But what? Why am I here? I want to tell you that God loves you so much. He will. And he wants to extend his hand into your situation, to bend down and to show you his kindness. That's the kind of love that we receive when we let him in. He granted him success in a place of failure. You feel like a failure today? God wants to grant you success in your place of failure. That's his love. Now, the same word, nachar, that is in the Hebrew of Genesis 39, we find it in another brilliant place in the Psalms. Here's King David. His is kind of a topsy-turvy story as well, isn't it? Up and down, failure, success, acclaim, fame, and then falling from grace. And he wrote this. I'm not sure at what point in his story he wrote it, but one day he sat down to write a new song. And he said this: I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. The word for turn to me is the same word. He reached for me and he heard my cry. He heard my desperate plea. That's the love of God. He hears. Friend, I want to tell you, he hears. You know that sobbing in the night that no one else hears? He hears the crying of your heart. He hears the silent scream that no one else hears. He hears. And he doesn't just hear, he turns to hear. He wants to hear it. That's what the text tells us. David said, he cried and he turned to me to listen to my despair. He goes on to say this. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my foot on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. And they will put their trust in the Lord. You see, most of us in this room, we are walking stories of grace. We're mess ups that he's recovered. We are still in recovery. Hello? I'm a sinner. I'm a kind of, what's the right word? My mum's an alcoholic, but she's recovering. I'm a recovering sinner. You see, as in, I'm still in the stage of recovery and God keeps recovering me again and again and again, day by day by his grace. You are in good company if you'd be willing to admit that your life meant nothing without the love of Christ. He lifted me out. He reached down into the mire of my despair and he turned to me to hear my cry. This is the love of God. This is extended love. And of course, the ultimate fulfillment of this love is Jesus. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, he extended to us. He didn't consider equality with God and the palaces of heaven to be something to hold on to. He said, actually, no. He came to be one of us and to be in fellowship with our sorrow and to be obedient to death on a cross. He did that. The ultimate sign of the extended love of God is Christ himself. And there's a great story in Luke's gospel that many of you are familiar with, but I just want to read it to you and for you to think again, perhaps about it in a slightly different way. Luke 19 tells us of a story of Zacchaeus. Anyone heard this story before? Anyone heard it 1,000 times? Yeah, he climbed up a tree. Yeah, he was short. No, there's something here. There's something in this story. I want you to ask yourself as I read it to you, who is looking for who? This is in Luke chapter 19. Who is looking for who? Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. I pause there. We should all go boo. You'll hear why we should go boo. I'll read the next verse. He was the chief tax collector in the region. Boo. There you go. And he became very rich. If this was a panto, I'd be like boo. And he became very rich. A Jewish man, what a traitor. Stealing money from Jewish peasants and ordinary people and giving it to the evil Romans. Zacchaeus, boo. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said. Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people of their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And of course, he knew full well he'd cheated a lot of people from their taxes. Who's looking for who? When I was growing up as a kid, I took it that, well, Zacchaeus, he's the one making the effort, right? He climbed up a tree. He's only short. You can imagine he's kind of short and very round, you know? He's been eating a lot of food. He's rich. He's wealthy. And you can imagine this stubby guy kind of climb up a tree. Gosh, that's a lot of effort. I used to be told, oh, you know, you need to reach for God. You need to make some effort to reach out to God. I recognize that from this story that it's not really, Zacchaeus thinks he's looking for Jesus, But who's looking for Zacchaeus? Jesus is. Because I reckon that morning when he woke up, Jesus had his prayer time and he's talking to the Holy Spirit because he needed to talk to the Holy Spirit just like you and I. And maybe the Holy Spirit said to him, Jesus, a bit later on, you're going to go through Jericho. There's going to be a man up a tree. His name's Zacchaeus. I want you to go to his house. See, Jesus came looking for Zacchaeus. This is good news. That before Zacchaeus is looking for Jesus, Jesus is looking for him. Hallelujah. Before you started your search for God, he was searching for you. And he knows your name. So Jesus calls him by name. He looks out for him and says, now I'm coming to your house. Of course, the people didn't like it. But he knows Zacchaeus' name. The man who had no friends. He knew Zacchaeus' name. He says, come down, Zacchaeus. I'm coming to your house. You see, God was the one who was doing the looking first. And it has always been that way. It always has. He always makes the first move. God's love extends to us before our faithfulness extends to him. He's reaching out to us before we reach out to him. And then amazingly in this story, of course, in response, Zacchaeus, their hands join, if you like, and something happens that's so transformative. Zacchaeus becomes a generous man who loves others and who gives things back to the poor. It's incredible what happens. But make no mistake, God's love came first. Even while we were still sinners, Paul said, Christ loved us. Before we'd given him a moment's thought, he had given us an eternity's thought. As in other words, he'd thought about us before we thought about him. This is his love. Before the beginning of creation, he predestined us to do good works in his name. You see, many people need to be reminded that he came to seek and save the lost. And that's what it says. That's how I sense that this interpretation is right. You see, it says in verse 9, let's have that up on the screen. It says in verse 9, Jesus responded. In other words, to explain what he'd done, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Why? For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. He came looking for us. That's the nature of his love. Some people think that God's aloof. I want to tell you, he's not aloof. And he's not just aware of what's going on in the world and what's going on in your life and my life. He's actually more than he's available. He's accessible. Some people think God's aloof. No, he's not aloof. He's not just aware. He's not even just available. God, in his nature, in his love, approaches us. He's not just accessible to us. He is the God who approaches us. He steps close to us. Even today, he steps close to us. I want to show you more of my love. Will you let me? The God who approaches us. Now, I've already mentioned this week, I had an amazing privilege on your behalf to go to the Lebanon. And amazing 3 days. And I knew what I was going in for. I mean, leaving Helen and the kids to fend for themselves, we still felt it was right for me to go. So I still went, and I knew that there was something significant to be done. I do believe it's the beginning of a partnership to help some people that you can be involved in as well. It was one kind of startling point. Some pictures come up on the screen. There's a map here, a Google map. We went to a house group of new believers up in the mountains, and I did a quick Google map search to where I was, which is the blue circle in Ra'it. And the dropped pin there is the Syrian border, and 1.7 miles from the Syrian border. I prayed a little bit quicker when I saw that. But I have to say, I was safe there. And I said to one of the people there, one of the Lebanese, I said, well, is it safe in Lebanon? He said, well, is it safe in Las Vegas? Or is it safe in a high school in America? What are you talking about? I said, we haven't had any acts of violence like that on Lebanese soil for years. That made me think. So I went to quite a safe place, actually. And anyway, we met the team. The picture on the right there is Magdi praying with some of the a mixture of Egyptians and Lebanese and Syrian Christians on this team from True Vine Church. Oh, amazing people. I was very privileged to lead Bible studies with them and then some of their discipleship groups. And we set out to do what they do, and that is go and visiting some of the homes. When I say homes, I kind of mean kind of tents. on scraps of land that they're renting at exorbitant rates with the only hope of having anywhere with a cover over their head. It was cold while we were there. There's some pictures there. You can see on the left there that our billboards today can become tents tomorrow. And these makeshift dwellings, if we just hold the picture there, we went from these places and you just, inside, there's 10, 12, 15 people in a family huddled together, mostly women and children. A lot of the men died or are still fighting the war in Syria. And we went into this house here. And I have to say, after a couple of days of doing this, just a day and a half, I am ruined. I'm emotionally and psychologically exhausted from visiting these families. In every place we went, there was someone who needed physical healing or some medical treatment or something. Every place we went. And these beautiful people and amazing children. No hope of an education, really. No hope of... They're never going to be able to build on that land. They'll never be allowed because of the law. And their homes back home in Aleppo and Homs have been destroyed, obliterated. Really, I asked people, what hope is there for them? And they said, well, there is Jesus. But I said, and what other help is there from them to rebuild their lives? And will they stay here? It's like, well, where else are they going to go? And after a while, we went to, this is on the third day there, went to this little tent here and on a building site, as you can see. And we went there as a huddled in this little room, and there's a little kerosene stove in the corner trying to keep warm. It was cold. And they said, we're going to pray for this guy. He's got cancer. And I'm thinking, well, maybe he's got some kind of small cancer somewhere. But then they pulled this blanket back over his legs. His name is Ali. And there's a tumor on his leg. And he was quite skinny. There wasn't a lot to him. And if you can imagine that my highly toned, muscular... imagine the size of my leg there. But on top of his leg is a tumor. Absolutely massive cancerous growth. Never seen anything like it. And they'd had some traditional healers try and do it. And they started, and apparently they'd cut into it to try and put some herbs in it or something to try and stop it. No real chance for major medical intervention by anyone. And we were there and we prayed for him and laid hands on him. And part of me, I don't understand why it didn't just disappear. I don't know, is this somehow my prayers were going to be more anointed than the teams that have visited him before? I don't know. But we prayed and prayed and prayed. And I prayed for him and I won't ever forget him or needing to pray for him. And this is just one of the homes that we visit. We went from place to place. On the final day, Magdi said, look, we're going to go up the mountains and pray for Lebanon. And I'm like, yes, I can do praying up a mountain. I love mountains. Let's go pray for Lebanon. I said, well, what are we going to do? Before we do that, we're just going to go and visit one home. I said, I think I can cope with one more home. So we went and prayed for this lovely family. And then I said, right, now we're going to get lunch. We're going to go up the mountains and pray for Lebanon. And the leader of the group said, no, there's a couple of things we need to do more. It's like, oh, no, another visit. Now, I'm sorry, guys. I'm only human. There's only so much I could really give in each of those situations, not knowing the language. And they said, no, it's just one more home. We went to one more home. And I said, right, now that's probably it. Lord bless them. We gave them some kerosene for their lamp and different things. And then we went to this other place that's part of a building site. If we can have the next slide. And there's a little family huddled up in this place. And do you know what? The enthusiasm of the team, this is what I want to talk about. It's the love of God. This team willingly, joyfully, on a tiny salary, surrounded by refugees, they willingly choose day by day by day to go and visit these families. That's the love of God. The aid agencies are hardly anywhere to be seen. Most other churches are completely inactive with Syrian refugees. Most of the Lebanese Christians hate the Syrians, because they can remember that it was Syrian soldiers that killed their uncle about 15 years ago. So there's a small team, and what I saw in them was a picture of the love of God. They went looking for people to help. And every day, today and tomorrow and the day after and the day after, the love of God compels them to go beyond what is comfortable, to go beyond their own culture even, to reach those in those tents day by day, to show the love of God. That's just amazing. That's the love of God, you know. And this is my concern. And I'll wrap up some thoughts and we're going to pray. This is my concern with my own life and my concern with yours. We are so flipping comfortable. We are wrapped up in convenience. We complain about our school system. We should be complaining about their lack of any school system. Complaining about our work. They would love to have work. Complaining that we have a sore throat for a week. And they have no chance of medical support for a massive tumor on their legs. And see, the love of God for them is so amazing. He extends his love to them. And he would send people like this team from True Vine Church and reach out his love. We should thank God for them. But there's something even more personal about this. Firstly, I want to say, if you're here today, and in terms of you and Jesus, you feel like you're trapped in your own tent of your own despair, just know that God loves you and he reaches out to you and he wants you to know his love. His love extends to you. Just because you're in a kingdom of comfort doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He cares for you. He cares about your job interview. He does. He cares about what's happening in your life and your heart. He cares about your struggle with addiction. He does. He doesn't love them more. You understand that? So if you're here today, you need to know the love of God extends to you. But once you have experienced the love of God, know that his love extends through you to others. And his love goes beyond, it extends beyond culture. Stop using language or, well, I don't like their music. Well, I don't like the way they look. Well, I don't really like them. I don't get what they are. They sound different. They dress differently to me. The boundaries of culture have never been a barrier to the love of God. Don't let them be a barrier in your life. I'm talking to you about the people on the fringe of your world. You know they're there. And my prayer is that we would have peripheral vision to recognize the people on the fringe of our world. From a different culture, we might be able to reach out, extend the love of God to them. Instead of keeping them at arm's length, to reach out to them with his love. That's just a decision. That's just a different, instead of keeping them like this, it's just drawing them like this. It's simple. This love extends beyond the barriers of comfort as well. You know, there are people with bigger problems than you that need to know the love of God. Seriously, guys, we need to wake up. And I know this is uncomfortable, but God wants you and I to be uncomfortable because his love extends beyond us, not just to us. And it's not just the barriers of culture and comfort, it's also convenience. It's really inconvenient. Really messes up your schedule. It'll mess up your finances. You start taking this seriously, it'll be really inconvenient because you know that Sky Sports subscription that might be better used in supporting some people in Lebanon? Seriously? The things that we have, and nothing wrong with Sky Sports. I'd love a Sky Sports subscription if you want to give me one. But what I mean is all these like kingdom of comfort things where we're the king and everything's about our comfort. God wants to stir us up. And Wellspring Church will always be an uncomfortable place for those who want to stay comfortable. And for that, I don't think the Lord makes any apology. Love takes time and it goes beyond. Now we're going to pray. I think it'd be good for us to pray first. As the band lead us in one song, we'll pray for others in a moment, and I'm going to help you with that. But I want to talk about you and the Lord. I want to extend an invitation to you to receive the love of God in a new way. Know that God reaches out to you. Like he did Joseph in that prison, he reaches out to you. Like he did to Zacchaeus, he's come looking for you because he loves you. And he wants to give you a new song to sing. So what I'm going to suggest you do, just in the silence for a moment, and then the band are going to lead us. I wonder if you could just open yourself up to receive the love of God in a new way. You might have been here a million times. There's still more. There's still more. You might find it helpful as you're sitting. We're not going to get you to stand. Just sit. Open your hands up to heaven and have your own time with the Lord. Lord, we want to pray by your Holy Spirit right now that you would move in this place and administer your love to us. May we hear you calling us by name. May we hear you reaching out to us. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's not just be hearers of the word. Let's be doers as well. Let's receive. Receive what he has for us. He speaks us words of love and affirmation. He calls us by name. Thank you, Lord. Let him in. Let him in. He loves you. Let the barriers down. There's at least one person here who needs to literally let the barriers down. Let him in. He's knocking at the door. Let me show you. Let me come to your house. Let me come into your heart. Let me in. Make a decision now to do that, to let him in. Thank you. The love of a father who'll never beat us, never reject us, never abandon us. You're a good father. And we choose to let you in. Holy Spirit, gentle Holy Spirit, we choose to let you in. Come and show to us in a new way the love of Christ. Love that reaches us where we are. Stay in this place as a band sing a song. Then we'll pray for others, but stay in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you today, Lord, that you reach into our situation with your perfect love. Thank you, Lord, even if our circumstances don't change, you love us. You loved Joseph in that prison. You showed him your love. Lord, we want to thank you that in our circumstances, you still reach down to us and you show us your kindness. You're a great God. And we love you, Lord. You are mighty to save. And yes, Lord, we have faith and we know you are mighty to rescue us. Like you did the Hebrews as they fled through the Red Sea. You rescued them, Lord. Rescuing God, and we say we love you and we thank you for your rescue. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, friends, now I know that for some of you, even talking about this stirs up a heart for missions, as in overseas missions. Let that be. I'm saying go with that. God's prompting you. But I'm going to ask all of you to stand, actually, so don't sit down. I want us to pray for some specific people. And you know their name. Okay, you know their name. I'm talking about the people that are on the fringe of your world. That family member that's been ostracized that you need to reach out to. You know you want to. You just need God's love to do it. That person in your workplace that you keep at arm's length, but actually you know God's love wants to reach out to them. I'm talking about them. And every one of us has a person, has a name. I don't need to prompt you. I don't need to hype this up. There are people on the fringe of your world that God wants you to show love to. Now, not just in theory, but in practice. And this is the challenge. We're in the presence of God now. Don't do this for my sake. Do it for the glory of God and for their sake. Make a commitment now. This week to reach out to them. It might be a text message. It might be a conversation to offer to pray for them. might be a gift you dropped through their door or something to reach out. I wonder if you and I would have the courage and the faith to not just hear God's word and feel like, oh, I should love more. As one nun said, I will not should on myself. Instead, I'm going to do. So don't, well, I should care. No, you do care. You do care.
Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how he's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.